We're talking about working on my rest, the Sabbath day. So we'll take a look at Hebrews chapter 4. Work. It's an interesting thing. When I was younger, I think my dad said to me a few times, "You must be the laziest teenager I've ever met in my life. I wouldn't work if I had to. I just didn't like it." In fact, when we moved to a farm, which is probably not the thing to do for a lazy 16-year-old, but we moved to a farm. We had 300 head of cattle and about 9,000 acres. And the problem with that is that means there's a lot of work. And being that I was the only boy, my brother was 7 years old. I don't think he was going to do a whole lot. And I remember my dad coming down stairs to get me up to go take care of the calves, the cows that would be calving in the middle of winter at about 3 a.m. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You want me to go outside in 40 below weather to get a calf? I said, "Why don't you take brother?" Which he did. I just didn't want to work. Now I find myself, I have to slow down because over the years, I find myself to kind of get caught up in this whole rat race, becoming a workaholic. We as Americans are workaholics. In fact, I pulled up an article just to find out. There's a gal who wrote this. She says, "There have been so many times I've heard people say, if I only had more time in the day, wouldn't that be great?" I've said this so many. How many of you have ever said, "I wish I had more time in the day to do what I want to do"? You know, I thought, I want to invent an eighth day. Wouldn't that be great? An eighth day. You could invent your eighth day and do with it. You know what would happen, though, if we had an eighth day? We'd find a way to work on our eighth day. It would be gone. We could have a ninth, tenth. It wouldn't matter. There have been so many times I've heard people say, "If I only had more time in the day," or, "I've just got so much work to do and so little time." But when are we as a society going to slow down and start taking time out of for ourselves and for those that we care about? Her name's Felicia Veneman, and she writes this. A recent study by Career Builders found that 28% of working fathers view their jobs as having a negative impact and bond on their children. An astounding 44% admitted that they would settle for reduced pay for more quality time with their kids. Think about that. What does that say about most Americans' lifestyles in regard to work? We don't know how to slow down, even when we need to do so. We continue in this mindless schedule, day after day, putting work first when it should be family first. Our careers are a means to supply our families with necessities and the good things of life. And it provides us a chance to offer our unique talents. But all that is meaningless when we are not allowing ourselves to connect and truly value time spent with loved ones. Even when our very being screams, "Stop!" inside of us. Americans are working longer hours. We are, in general, workaholics. Americans surpass Europeans by working 9 weeks more a year. Yeah, shocking. The Japanese work long and hard, but even they know how to take breaks. The answer to a demanding schedule for the Japanese is to take a midday siesta. Hotels in Japan offer rooms for an hour to tired business people to take a cat nap for free. That's a great idea. Maybe as Americans, we should take a cue from them to rejuvenate our bodies and slow down during the day. People are stressed out, and stress leads to all sorts of health problems. Anxiety, for one. Never before do so many people rely on prescription drugs to combat their anxiety. And I'd throw in their coffee or 44 ounces at the speedy queue of Mountain Dew. I need my caffeine. That was rhetorical, but thank you for that. The anxiety can be alleviated if many people were allowed to take time off from work and if they realize that working yourself to death is not good for anyone. Take time to breathe. Relax. Many wonder why our health suffers and why there are so many incidents of road rage. It's not a disorder as defined by intermittent explosive disorder, or IED, as a study by the National Institute of Mental Health suggests. What road rage is, a characteristic of a frustrated, tired, and worn-out driver who allows any little thing to get them upset. I'm surprised there aren't more people having fits behind the wheel in rush hour traffic. We have so much on our plates these days. Imagine if we could cut down on the number of people taking drugs for sleeplessness, anxiety, and moodiness, and all by allowing people the time to take vacations and spend time with their family and loved ones. And so we come into this place this morning, and the discipline in our lives that God speaks about is the Sabbath, working on our rest. I was going to have a young man up here, and I thought, I don't know. I talked to my son, even said he'd do it, to be up here working out on a treadmill the entire service. But the problem with that is you'd have been staring at him the entire time thinking, what's he doing? And he'd be up here sweating. I said, then I'll get up to preach and you can stop. And the point being how distracting it is while people are working while we're trying to worship. How distracting it is when we're working our whole lives and God wants us to worship. He wants us to be involved in the Sabbath. At some point, you got to say, I need to take a break. I was up last night till 2 a.m., not just going over my notes, but because there was a fly in my bedroom. And it was one of those big horse flies. And he was at the end of his leg because he flew around and around and around for 2 hours. And I thought, he's got to be getting tired. And when he does, that's when I'm going to take him out. He never did. And I laid there and watched him for 2 hours and thought, I can't sleep because he won't rest. Think about how God looks at us and says, I would like to have you enjoy rest, but around and around and around they go. And if they would just sit down, I'll get them. And God wants to get us. He really does, in the good sense. He wants to have time with us so he can refresh us and give us a spirit that's moving in us. But here's the problem. We're workaholics. And you know why we're workaholics, guys? It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when Adam bit into the fruit and God cursed him. We have a curse to work. And he said these words. God said in Genesis chapter 3, he said, Adam, because you have done this, because you have taken life on yourself and you've decided that you want to be smart like me and you wanted the pride of knowing good from evil, fine. You want to know what life's all about. You want to know what it's like to rule over the dominion and you want to know. Tell you what, for the rest of your life, every man, as a result of your sin, will work by the sweat of his brow to raise a harvest of thorns and thistles. And what he said is, guys, you're going to be workaholics and you're going to get very little for your return that's going to satisfy you. And you're going to have to go back tomorrow and do it all over again. And you think to yourself, well, that's great. Thanks, Adam. If he were here right now, I'd just punch him right in the nose. If he were here right now, you'd probably done the same thing that he did because you do it. I do it. And we have to be careful to say what is valuable in time. What is valuable in time is that God says in the very beginning, the very first thing that he says, and God created all these things in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested. Isn't that great? God rested. You got to ask the question, what did he rest from? Was God tired? Was he exhausted? Did he spend himself creating? Oh, could you see God up there? I need to take a break. I'm going to take a nap. You know, the Bible says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord, the everlasting God, creator of the worldwide, grows neither tired nor faint. That's not what he rested in. You know what he did? In 6 days, God created everything for you and I. And he created you and I. And then he sat back on the seventh day and he goes, ah, this is it. So let me define it for you. Here's what it is. The Sabbath. It's a Hebrew word. It's Shabbat. Shabbat is where we get that word. And it simply means this. To cease or stop. That's what it means. It says on the seventh day, God ceased creating. He stopped. He says, I'm done. That's it. I'm not going to do anything today. And then he looks at you and I and he says, I want you to do that. I want you to enter into that rest where you just kind of go, it's kind of like the idea, if you've ever worked on a project, whether it's in the yard or on a car or on a house or just any kind of project in your life, and you've worked and you've worked and you've worked and you know how hard it was, and you get done with it and you kind of sit back and you sit down and you go, now that is nice. I remember the first doghouse I built for my very first Labrador in Alabama right out of college. My wife married me because she was hoping to marry a man just like her father, who's very creative and he's very constructive. She almost got that. I'm very creative and very destructive. I went out and found all the wood that I could find in our backyard. We had 5 acres where the church was building, and we were living in a cabin that they had on the property. And I had this little chocolate lab, and I had to build her a doghouse. So I grabbed my hammer, I grabbed my tools, and I went out, and I worked day after day, and I found a pallet. And I grabbed the pallet, and that was going to be the roof. And I found some wood, and that was going to be for some of the side. I found a screen, and I thought, well, he'll like a window with a screen on it. And so I threw that old screen, and this is just junk people throwing in the woods. And so I got it all done, and I looked at it, and I sat back, and I went, I'm done. And my wife came out, and she goes, what is that? I said, it's a doghouse. A doghouse, and she's looking at it. I mean, there's nails everywhere. There's two. It looked like the Little Rascals had been at our house. It was really ugly, okay? The first storm about a week later comes into the area, and my dog's in the doghouse, and it collapses on the dog. That's how bad. Now, it wasn't heavy because, I mean, I just slapped some wood together. So I said, that's it. I went down to the local hardware store. I went to the lumber company. I bought stuff, and she was just shaking her head. She thought, I thought I married a man like my dad. I wanted a husband like my dad, you know, that could take care of me, that could do this stuff. And I thought, that's it. I'm going to do it. No blueprints. I just went and I grabbed my stuff. I didn't need a map, guys. I just needed to do it. I bought the stuff. I came home and off I went. I said, leave me alone. I'm building. And I took time, and I mean, I worked on this. I made the A-frame. I put 2 little windows in it. I put a nice little door in it. I painted it red and white, and I had shingles on the roof, and there it was. And one of the church people came by that next week, and I sat back and looked at it. They walked by. They go, that's a beautiful playhouse. Will you build one for my kids? I said, it's a doghouse, and yes, for $100. And I felt pretty good about it. I sat back, and I rested in my work, and I felt pretty good. And other people enjoyed it. And I had offers to build more of these, which I didn't do. But can I tell you something? I think God sat back and in the wonder of His creation, He said, you know, that's pretty good. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis, He looked at creation and said, that's good. That's good. That's good. And on the fifth day, the sixth day, He finally got up there and He said, He made us. And He said, that's very good. I like this. And then something happened. Sin. And He said, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to take my Sabbath day and I want you to rest. And I want you to sit back. I want you to work 6 days a week, but on the seventh day, I don't want you to work. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Let me just put some scriptures up because I don't even know how to preach this. I have avoided even talking about this. But let me show you a few things of what God says. These are some scriptures. In Exodus 20, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, but He rested Shabbat on the seventh day. He stopped, He ceased on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and He made it holy. Let's look at another one. It gets more uncomfortable as we go. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant, nor manservant. Now, see, the teens are going to go, see, Mom, Dad, I can't work today. No chores. Nor your animals, nor the aliens within your gates. Believe me, it's going to get more uncomfortable. But I'm just the messenger. That's the message, okay? Just please remember that. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from God's people. Look at the next one. For in 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. I'm just reading it, okay? I'm just reading what's up there. Do not light a fire in your house on the Sabbath day. Just reading it, that's all I'm doing. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Shabbat, a rest, stop, cease, a day of sacred assembly. And here you are. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is the Shabbat to the Lord. Again, I'm just reading. while the Israelites were in the desert, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. And the Lord said to Moses, that man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. They did. I'm just reading. Put your chainsaws away, guys. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the day of the Shabbat to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your maidservant, manservant, maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Don't cause anybody else to work. Let's do the next one. When the neighboring peoples bring merchandise or grain to sell on the Shabbat, we will not buy from them on the Shabbat or on any holy day. I'm just reading it, okay? Some of you are starting to stare. Look, don't shoot me. I'm just a messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. Okay? I'm just telling you what, I'm just reading the Bible. I was going to get a bulletproof jacket. Let's see what it says. In those days, I saw men in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, all kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight in the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, I love this part. This is good. Then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now that's a good one. I like that one. This is what the Lord says. Be careful not to carry a load on the Sabbath day or bring it through the gates of Jerusalem. Do not bring a load out of your house, out of your houses, or do any work on the Sabbath, but keep the Shabbat day holy as I have commanded your forefathers. I think that's it. Please. Good. That's all. There you go. There you have it. Don't shoot the messenger. I have struggled to not preach this. Like you wouldn't believe. That's what happens when you preach a series and we talk about discipline. And you put yourself on one of these racks and you start saying, I'm going to work out because I know it's good for me. And you say, well, I'm going to skip that. I'm going to skip that part because I know it's good for me, but I'll skip that part. Can I tell you how much Christians skip stuff? Because, see, I shouldn't be preaching this message because I want people to come to church, not to leave church. I was talking to my mom about this last night. She goes, but you can't say that to people. I said, Mom. And she said, people sometimes don't have a choice. Okay. I said, so should I not even talk about this? I called her for support last night. And then she says, I'm handing the phone to someone else so you can preach to them. I said, okay, well, that's fine. So here we are. We're in Hebrews, and it speaks to this for us today. Because if I left you with just those scriptures, you know what you're going to say? I at least what I would say, we're in trouble. As a country, we are in big trouble. 240 million Americans claim to be Christians, to live by that those rules. 240 million claim it out of 300 million. And I'm going to tell you, one of the busiest days of the year is today. You'd be lucky to get a seat at a restaurant if I don't get you out of here early enough. It's true. And most sports happen on Sundays. It's true. And I'm just throwing this out there. Here we go. I'm in so much trouble. Well, first of all, let me answer this question. The root of the rest, where it comes from. We see it in Genesis. God said so. And then we find it with the manna. In Exodus, God said on 5 days you collect enough food, one a day. Remember that? The children of Israel were out in the wilderness. And by the way, it's really cool. This is a side note. My wife said, hey, you got to go on this website. So me and my boys went on it. And they've got pictures where, and I've known it for about 10 years, but you can go see it now. They've got pictures at the Red Sea where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. It's 5,000 feet deep on average, in the Red Sea, but not where they crossed. There's like a shelf there, and they found it. Divers have gone down there. And you know what they found all over those shelves? They've got pictures of chariot wheels from Pharaoh, from Ramses, with his mark. I mean, all over. They said, we were down there 10 minutes, and we found them all over the place. And they found bones, human bones, from the armies of Pharaoh that were destroyed. We know that. And it's wide enough, and there's just something fascinating about it. But they cross this Red Sea, they get into the desert, and they go, what are we going to eat? And God says, I'm going to give you food from heaven. Gathered up each day. So they gathered up Mondays, they gathered up Tuesdays, they gathered up, they said, one for each day. Well, some people decided, I'm going to get some for tomorrow. I'm not going out tomorrow. So on Monday, they gathered up. It turned into maggots the next day. It was only good for the day. But on the day before the Shavuot, he said, gather up for yourself on the sixth day food for 2 days, and don't worry, it'll be good. Isn't that interesting? Because on the Shavuot, you will worship the Lord and give Him that day. So there's the second place we find it. The third place we find it is in the Ten Commandments, and it's a reminder that God delivered them from slavery. And so it's all over. But here's the question, if you want to know, I want to know, is it really Sunday or is it Saturday? I don't know if you've heard this, because the Shabbat, the seventh day, is actually Saturday. And there's groups, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jewish nation, they celebrate the Shabbat on the Sabbath on Saturday. Saturday is the Sabbath. We're not here celebrating the Shabbat as we know it in Old Testament. We're celebrating the Lord's Day as we know it today. You see, we celebrate now because Christ's resurrection, and there's a few reasons why we celebrate on Sunday as Christians. And here's, let me just give you a few, and you can get these on the website if you go on there. It'll be on the sermon notes. Number one, Christ rose the first day of the week, Matthew 28. When Christ rose, He instituted and celebrated the Lord's Day today. The second thing is we find Christ after the resurrection meeting with His disciples. And He honored the first day by manifesting Himself on four different occasions. He lifted up the Lord's Day, Sunday, on four different occasions after His resurrection. The third thing is Christ's ascension was on the first day. He went into heaven on the Lord's Day. And so, again, over and over, it was being honored. Another one is no doubt that the Holy Spirit came on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, when they were up in the upper room at Pentecost and they were praying and the Holy Spirit came. And finally, the early church fathers sanctioned it and authorized it. And they were the ones who were with Jesus after His resurrection. So those are five reasons you could say, yes, Christ took what was the old covenant and gave us a new thing. And where the law was, now He gives us grace. You see, Shabbat, all those rules, you and I can't do it. You and I could not possibly live a life that could do that. And do you know how many rules they've made up in the Jewish nation for you to honor the Sabbath day? They can't even do it. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But I want you to understand why we worship on Sundays and set that day aside to the Lord is because the early church fathers did it, because Jesus did it, because of His resurrection, because of His ascension, and because of the Holy Spirit coming on that day. Okay? So I hope that's clear to you that it's okay to worship and set today aside as the Sabbath day, as the Lord's Sabbath day. Now, let's dive into this, because there's a few things I want to say before you leave so that you're not upset and that you might even come back next week. In the book of Hebrews, in our text, and that's why I switched, in the book of Hebrews, it speaks in chapter 4 of a few things that we need to understand about our rest. The first one is this, the very first verse. Therefore, since we have a promise of entering His rest that still stands, there are required rest stops. We are required to rest in our lives. Do you know that the average human body, how long you can go without sleep? I've done it for about 2.5 days. I had lock-in in college one time, and then I had some homework, and then I had to work. And I went about 2.5 days without sleeping. I was numb. I couldn't think straight. I was loopy. And you don't want to see me loopy. I don't know if some of you have ever been loopy, where you just can't capture a thought. And I'm studying in class, I'm trying to work, and I thought, I've got to get to bed. The body, the human body, can only handle and withstand so much unrest before your body's going to react to it and shut down and do things. The average American used to sleep 10 hours a day. They don't. Could you imagine getting 10 hours of sleep? I can imagine it. That's all I can do is imagine it. The average American today is about 7 hours. which still isn't too bad. You're thinking to yourself, they get that much sleep? Now, some of you may do that. The difference between 5 hours and 7 hours is this. They just released a study. They followed hundreds and hundreds of people in a study, and they found out through their whole life and up until their death that those who get 7 hours of sleep as opposed to five, they found the people with 5 hours of sleep, just those 2 hours extra, that they died 50% more likely to die of heart disease from just those 2 hours. Your body has got to rest. Your body's got to rejuvenate. Your mind has got to unwind. You've got to have your REM. You've got to have your rapid eye movement. You've got to dream. Your mind has to unwind. So the stress, it's kind of like a wound clock during the day. And you've got to let that thing unwind and rest. Your body, your muscles, if you work out, and we're talking about working out on a rest, everybody knows you can't just sit here and keep doing this. You can't just keep doing that to your muscles. You will hurt your muscles. They have got to rest. You work out and then you give it a day off. And then you work out and you give it a day off, right? Isn't that how it works? Some of you guys are like huge. I mean, you guys work out. I know you do. But you don't do it all the time every day. You've got to give it a rest so that your body can replenish itself and go, ah, because after you're done working out, isn't it true? Those of you that run, do aerobics or any kind of workout, isn't it true when you get done, you just kind of go, man, that hurt, but it sure feels good. It does, because you know you've exercised, but you don't keep going, because if you keep going, it's going to go from feeling good to you're going to hurt yourself pretty bad. So you've got to rest. It's the same thing in our work. Could you imagine working 7 days a week, 17 hours a day, every day, nonstop, 52 weeks a year? Your body is going to shut down your mind. Imagine your spirit. I believe that God wants us to have a rest from life. Just like our muscles from exercise, I think life needs to have a rest. You guys had 6 days this week. Think about what happened in your life this week. And don't you need to rest from that? I don't know about you, but I mean, just the road rally last night, I was ready to rest, to get out of the car and sit in a chair and go, ah. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, all the clues, my head hurt, my stomach hurt from the driving. I needed a rest. I heard this from a lot of cars because, I mean, people are go, go, go. And we live life that way. Listen, last night's road rally was just like life. We're trying to figure out life and we're doing this. Guys, I know you do it. We get into traffic. We get into work. Ladies, we're you're running back and forth, taking care of things, trying to take care of all the things that you have to do in your house and with your family and with your husband. And you're going and you're going and you're going and you're going and you're going. And something steps into the middle of that and it's like a cog going in a fine-tuned wheel that you've got going. And you know exactly how runs and all of a sudden crank and the whole thing shuts down and you go, I'm going to kill someone. And all the husbands go, I think it's time for me to leave. And the children scatter. You know what I'm talking about? And you start praying for grace. And you know what you need? I'm going to tell you, in your spiritual life, life happens and life happens and life happens and life happens. And God says, and the devil comes in, he throws a crank right into the wheel of your walk with God. And the whole thing just freezes up. And you know what God says? I want you just to stop and go, not today, Lord. Not today. Today the wheels shut down. Cease. I cease the wheels of my life. And today it's all about you. It's not all about me. And that's what the Shabbat is. That's what it means to rest your spirit. Now, some of you in that, the Bible says, it speaks there, it says in verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. We need to rebuild our spirits. Do you know why I like coming to church? I like coming to church. I love listening to the team. I don't care who's up here singing. I love being able to sing. I love being able to get to a point of praying. I love connecting with you guys in church. I love getting together with the people of God. You know what? It fires me up. I remember years ago, I've been a youth pastor most of my life, 19 out of 20 years of ministry. That's a long time to work with teenagers. And teenagers aren't the most, yeah, I want to go to church today. On Wednesday nights especially, we'd have 250 kids come out to youth. And you know what they would say? We are looking forward to it. Oh, we needed this. I couldn't wait to get here. the middle of my week on hump day, I had to have something in the middle of my week. It's like a shot in the arm. And I said, ah. Oh. I don't know about you, but Sundays for me is a shot in my arm. It's like God going, here you go. Let me give you something. And I've been waiting all week for it. Not that you don't have stuff going all week, but you know what? When you gather with people and you go, I've been waiting for this all week long. And that's what he wants us to do. And that's why he says, I require a rest stop. You must rest. I require it in your life. And that's why he required it, not because he said, you know what? When you get up in the morning, you better be there at 10 a.m. And if you're not there at 10 a.m., why, I'll tell you what, you are in so much trouble. I asked my children this question this week. I said, is it a sin to not go to church on Sunday? That's a good question. You know what they said? I don't think so. These are the preacher's kids. I started asking other people, I said, do you think it's a sin to not go to church on Sundays? And they said, I love it. Somebody's been paying attention. They said, well, Dad, wherever a couple of people get together, that's where the church is. I said, you got it. You got it. You know what you got is this. If you think somehow coming into a building is going to satisfy the requirements of God, it's not. But if you think staying away from the building and saying, well, I gathered together with a few people, so we had church, is fulfilling the requirements of God, it may not necessarily be that also. What it is the heart. And that's the second thing. Look at what the verse says in verse 2. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. We had it preached to us just as they did. Do you know why I go to church on Sundays? Here's why I go to church on Sundays. Now, church could happen in my house, but you know what? To be honest with you, you got to ask the question. Some people say, well, you know, I'm going to have church out on the golf course. I'm going to have church out on my boat. I'm going to have church. You know what? That's between you and God. You showing up to this building isn't going to say, you know, I'm not preaching this message so that every one of you show up here on a Sunday morning going, there, the pastor wants us to show up on Sunday. Whether you're here or not, that's not between, I mean, that's between you and God. But what I will say this, I come here because I come to church so I might celebrate together. As the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself, or some are in the habit of doing. There are some people, and you know what? Before Jesus shows up, they started desecrating the Sabbath. They started taking the Sabbath and they said, you know what? We'll do whatever we want on the Shabbat. And they started just desecrating it. And those scriptures that you heard were real and people were being put to death. And man, and Jesus comes along and he says, and that's why it says, therefore, since there still is a rest. In other words, Jesus comes along and says, let me put this back into perspective. And what does he do on the Sabbath? He goes to church. In the synagogue. And what does he do? He reads the scripture. They sing some songs. They pray together. They celebrate. And they eat together. And if Jesus did it, I think I'm going to do that too. And that's why it's more than that even. One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. And the other man had a leisurely lunch, took his time, put his feet up. He took several breaks during the day for coffee and some donuts and phone calls. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. And you know where I'm going with this, don't you? You already got this figured out. Because he rested better, right? I don't get it, he said. Every time I check, you are taking a rest. Yet you chop more wood than I did. But you didn't notice, said the woodsman, that I was sharpening my axe when I was sitting at rest. See, it wasn't that he was just sitting. It's what he was doing with it. It's not that you're out on a boat or on a golf course or sitting in a pew. It's what you're doing in your rest. And I'll tell you what I love is sharpening my axe. I love the idea that the Lord even adds this in. And we kind of skipped it at the very end of this passage down in verse 12. Look at what it says in verse 12. And we didn't read this earlier, but it says, for the word of the Lord is living and active and sharper than a two-edged axe, a sword. Isn't that interesting? And you know what I do? I come to get the word of God so I can sharpen my axe. The Bible says, David says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know what I get together and talk about the Lord? Because I know I'm going to sharpen my faith when I get together with other people who want to sharpen their faith. And that's why I get together with other believers. Now, I do a lot of other things that dull my axe all day long. I don't know about you, but I'm swinging it out there and trying to live my life as a Christian. And there are things that just dull it all the time. And you know what? I get together to sharpen my life. And I hope you get sharp. I hope when you leave, I hope that you don't just gather in here and go, well, there we did it again. We went to church on Sunday. Kids, listen to me. I hope you didn't just get dragged to church today. I hope that you chose to come here today because you walk out and you go, you know what? That sharpened my sword. That sharpened my life. God did something. You know, when I heard about Isaiah, I want to see angels with six wings. You know what? I want to get on my knees before God. I want God to take a coal from His heaven and I want Him to touch my lips. You know what I want in my life? I want to see the hand of God move in my life. Here's what I want in my life. I want to know that when I get on my knees, that all of heaven is opened up and I have the confidence that I am kneeling in the presence of God Almighty, who in 6 days created everything for my good pleasure. And on the seventh day, I can come and say, God, You are so good to me. I come in with confidence in my life. I hope that's why you came here this morning. In my life, I want the confidence of knowing when I pray, God hears me. I want the confidence of knowing when God says, I forgive you. I don't ever have to remember that in my life. And when I get to heaven, He says, did you do this? And I say, no, I didn't. And somebody's not going to say, you're a liar. Because God says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remove your sins and remember them no more. And when somebody brings up and say, didn't you used to do? And I say, I never did that in my life. And you say, how could you say that? I can say it because God can say it. And if He can forgive me of that, He can forgive you of anything you've done in your life. That's why I come here this morning. That's my God. I hope you didn't drag your body in here just to drag your body in here. You might as well be out on the golf course and invite me. Because if that's the only reason that you have a day's rest, you have completely missed who God Almighty is and the 6 days that He made this entire planet for you to enjoy in your life. But then verse 2 comes. Verse 2 is, for we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Look at this. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with what? Faith. So here's the second thing. The first thing is rest stops are required. And the second one is we need a little R&R. We need a little R&R. Now, some people have R&R and it's this R&R. It's rules and regulations. Some people have R&R, but it's rules and regulations. And I hear people say, Pastor, you can't do that on Sundays. I say, why? I do it on Mondays. Well, you can't go there. You can't do this with your life. I say, what kind of rules and regulations are you living by? I live by not rules and regulations. I live by this R&R. I live by rest and restoration. See, God has come into my life and He's given me life, not for me to follow a bunch of rules. I couldn't follow the rules before I was a Christian. You think I'm going to follow those after I'm a Christian? Now follow me here because I'm not talking about antinomianism. That's a big Latin word for lawlessness. Do whatever you want, guys, because it doesn't matter. God forgives you. No, but I also don't live my life in such a way that says I live by this legalism that says at 10 a.m. we start worship and by 11:30, 11:45, whenever the pastor's done, it's done. And then I go, I don't live by legalism. And then I go home and I sit in a box and I sit and go, well, I got to rest. I can't do anything because there are people who live this way. And they say, you can't do anything on Sundays. In fact, you should go home and curl up on the couch and go to sleep. Don't watch TV. Don't talk. Don't do anything. Don't light a fire. Don't light a fire in your house. Ladies, don't cook, which I think you ought to be like, amen. Let him light the fire. Because he if he goes and gets the wood, he's already in trouble. So let him light the fire. Listen, I believe that God wants us to be in rest and restoration, not in rules and regulations. The rules and regulations are there because they're there for the reason behind the rule, not for the rule itself. You see, behind God saying, don't chop wood, don't light a fire, don't do this, don't cause other people to work. Man, I talked to a brother this week. He had 4 Lions tickets for today. I shared these scriptures with him and he turned them down because he didn't want those people who were working in the stadium to have to work because we go. Now, listen, it wasn't because of the rule. It was because of the reason behind the rule. And I can respect that reason behind that rule. Not legalism of, oh, I can never go to a sports thing. But he's thinking about other people who have to work today, and they ought to set it aside, as the Bible says, stop and cease. And you know what? There wasn't, when I was a kid, I was talking to my mom. I said, I remember, I just want to make sure I'm not going to get up and preach an untruth. I said, I remember as a kid, nothing was open on Sundays. Nothing was open on Sundays. If you found something, it was rare when I was a kid. And I was in California, the left coast. I mean, it was liberal. They'll do anything anytime. And I just remember you got everything on Saturday because Sunday you didn't find it. You didn't find gasoline. You'd rarely be able to find a gallon of milk anywhere. She was telling me, yes, that's the way it was. That's the way it was. I said, isn't it funny that we cause so many people to never rest? But 7 days a week, everything's open. Everything's open. What would our country be like? What are we gaining? What are we gaining by working an extra 12-hour day? We have not gained anything in America. Are we better financially? Have we really turned things around? No. Are we better industrial-wise? No. When I was in France with my wife last year, they just looked at us and said, you Americans. Of course, for a lot of other reasons. Don't want to talk about George Bush. I said, no, I don't know who that is. No parlez-vous français. But they all, the one thing that after George Bush and the whole war and the oil thing, they wanted to know was, why do you work so much? You work all the time. I mean, we work 9 weeks more than them. I mean, they take off week after week, just here and there. They'll just take a week off. As part of their work, they take time off. They said, you just work to live. Live to work. When I was in Jamaica, same thing. When we went down to Nicaragua, if you get a chance to go down there, these people, not only do they not work, you just don't know when they're going to show up. Yeah, we need the wood here. We're going to start building about 9 a.m. 2 in the afternoon. I wonder where that truck is. And Timothy's like, don't worry about it, Pastor. They'll be here. They said they'd be here today or tomorrow. And I'm just like, 9 o'clock. I went to church service in Mexico, in Monterrey, in the Sierra Madres. Church of about 5,000. We went in, didn't speak hardly any Spanish. They didn't speak English. I thought the church just went long. It was going from 9 o'clock on and on and on. About 2 in the afternoon, I said, we should leave. It was 2 in the afternoon, and they weren't done. But people were filtering in and filtering out. They were just kind of coming and going as they pleased. They didn't have a time frame to meet with God. They just showed up to meet with Him. They said, you guys are on such a schedule. You guys are in jail. You're like prison. You guys have to go by everything. And if you're 5 minutes late, people let you know you're late. You should be on time. They go, throw your clocks away. And I kind of like that. That fit right into my lifestyle. Legalism. Some people will get into rules and regulations, and God says, get into rest and restoration. You know what? Go see a sunrise this week. You know, next Sunday, take your family down to the beach and go watch the sun, or over to, yeah, your guys' new house. And everybody will post it on the website, their address. They'll have coffee for you. I went out there this week I just thought, you know, I don't know when the last time I took time just to, and it wasn't the Sabbath, it wasn't the Lord's, and I just went and watched the sunrise. It takes 4 minutes for the sun to rise. I didn't know that. It's a beautiful orange hue that comes over the water when it first peaks. And then as it gets brighter and brighter, it's unbearable to look at, but the reflection on the water, you can see very clearly. And no matter where you move, it goes from sun to feet, and it follows you. And I thought, God, you're amazing. As I sat there and watched the sunrise on the lake with the ducks on the sandbars and my dog running in the water, I thought, now this is a picture that I could live for and sit at forever. What a beautiful thing that God has given. Find times to refresh your life. And don't get caught up in legalism. Oh, I got things to do today. It was a full day. I got things to do today. The reason I did that was because about an hour before, I decided to go for a walk at 5:30. And the darkest part of the night is before the dawn. I went for a walk at 5:30. And I'm looking up in the stars. And it was absolutely beautiful. And I went from the stars of the heaven at night to the sunrise of the day. And I got to see God in His wonders, whether in the night or in the day. Take time and rest and go, oh, on 6 days He created. On the seventh day, He just looked at that and said, I cease today to do that. We should do that. We should find ways to do that. But don't get caught up in legalism. It'll tear you apart. And the reason I say that is, the question is, well, what can I do on Sundays? What can you do? You can do whatever God allows you to do, so long as you're focused on Him and that you have given Him that day. My mom mentioned to me, well, there are people who don't have choices. And so it comes to the last point of this message, and the hardest one. In verse 7, God says, therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through the prophet David, as was said before. And then you go down to verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. Do you know why God gave us today? Because we forget. It's the only commandment in the Ten Commandments that has a ritual with it. Honor your mom and dad. God didn't say, honor your mom and dad. Every morning when you wake up, you must bow four times to your parents and say, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. Although that would be fine if you kids want to do that. Or to say before the day's over 100 times, blessed are you, O mother and father, for thou art great in my sight. There's nothing. There is nothing in Scripture that has an observance that's a ritual except this commandment. And you got to ask the question, well, why did He do it? He did it because we forget. If you didn't have the Shabbat and God saying, do this, you know what we do? We'd work 7 days a week. We'd move right on without God. We would. It's hard enough to get to church, even though it's a rule. Imagine if it wasn't a rule. Take that out of it. And what would we do? Well, I don't know. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have been able to experience this together. And it's the Lord's Day. You know what the Ten Commandments were? When Moses was up on that mountain with God, and he gets those tablets, and he's reading through these going, wow, wow, wow. And he comes down, and he says, look what God has given me. And he starts reading it to the people, and they go, oh. And he gets to the fourth commandment, to honor the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. For in 6 days God worked, and on the seventh He rested. And he reads that, and the people went, oh. And Moses said, as tradition, and you find later on in the reading, he said, this is to remind us on the Shabbat, as we set aside this day, that we were once prisoners in Egypt. We were slaves. We are no longer slaves. We are free. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, today, the Lord's Day, reminds me that I was once a prisoner, but I am free. And why do I come here on Sundays? The reason I come here on Sundays is to remind me and to remind you that I am free in Jesus Christ. The devil who once had me in his prison, he had me captive and saying, this is life, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I walked with him, I talked with him, and I walked along his merry way. But one day Christ came in and said, you are free. And so gather with people who are also free and celebrate your freedom together. And that is the Shabbat of God. And find a day of rest where you go, I'm free. I'm going to heaven, everyone. I'm going to stand with those angels, and I'm going to watch them on this side of the room, and I'm going to watch them on that side of the room, and I'm going to see that temple filled with the smoke of God, and that angel's going to sing to that angel, and they're going to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And I'm going to stand and go, I'm free. I get to come here. I get to live here forever and ever and ever. And then I'm going to look at that devil, that old horny head, who's been lying from the beginning, and he's going to accuse me. He says, he's not free. What do you mean he's free? And God's going to look and say, that's my child. I set him free. And so I'm here to tell you about that freedom. What is Sunday about? Sunday's about living that freedom in your life. He doesn't have me anymore. I don't have a desire to go out and get stoned today. I don't have a desire to go out and cheat on my wife today. I don't have a desire to go out and get drunk today. I don't have that desire. Now, he can tempt me with those things, but I want you to know, I've come here to tell you, let's be encouraged. You don't have to do that. You are free. This is the Shabbat. Celebrate the Lord's Day. You don't have to do it. You have a choice. I could get the target back out and you can shoot. Let's finish this. You have a choice. I've had people say, you don't have a choice. But what about those that don't have a choice? My mom's a nurse. She goes, well, son, you could say that, but people don't have choices. I said, Mom, you always have a choice. She goes, you can't tell people that. I'm going to tell you, you have a choice. My wife this morning, as I walked out the door, she said, be careful when you say that. And I said, I'll see you soon. Yeah. Get the resume ready. You have a choice, folks. You've always had a choice. You chose to be here today. Well, what if you're a doctor? What if you're a nurse? What if you're an officer of the law? What if you have a business that requires you to do this? What if you have a choice? For me to say, oh, I know, you don't have a choice. How about this? How about God turns around, and I wrote down in my Bible, this is the paradox. How about God says to you, fine, you don't have a choice? I don't have a choice. How's that? How'd you like me to say that to you? I'd rather have you say it than him say it. How about God says, fine, I don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. But he did. He said you have a choice. Now, I want to set you free, because if you start living in legalism over here, and here's the last thing, that third point was, we need to remember to remind me, not to forget to remember to rest. You can write that down somewhere in your notes if you want, but remember to remind me, not to forget to remember to rest. I want to remember, the most important thing here today is to rest. I have a choice. God has a choice. And we live in those choices. Do you know that Jesus came and he said these words? Hey, didn't you know that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? I hope you're free in that today. And that's what you should remember, to remind me, not to forget, to remember to rest. Jesus said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And if you want to go there, you turn in your Bibles when you go home and read Matthew 12. The Pharisees, legal, came and says, what are you doing on Sunday? You know what they were doing? They went out to eat together. They ate corn. They went to the market and they picked it. And I'm sure they paid for it. If not, then they stole it. And you know what they did? They ate corn. And the Pharisee says, how could you do this on the Sabbath? What are you doing? And Jesus said, do you not know? Have you not heard? I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And it was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then he goes on and says, tell me, is it okay to do good on the Sabbath? And they all looked at him and they went, how do we answer that? They had gotten so wrapped up in the rules that they forgot to rest. He says, of course it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. Go do good things. Go have lunch with your neighbors. Go spend time with people, loving one another. Listen, when this place empties out, I hope you guys connect on the way out. I hope you have lunch together. I hope you meet some new people. I hope you invite each other out to your homes. And you know what? Light a fire. It's okay. The rule was not to spend the whole day gathering your wood and working, because you're not to work. And that's what they were doing, because it took them a whole day just to light a fire. People weren't enjoying the Lord. It's what's behind it that counts. You know what? It comes down to this. And by the way, Jesus always said you can heal on the Sabbath. And I read some things in Jeremiah where they posted their guards on the Sabbath. I thought, that's interesting. Security, hospitals, doctors, nurses, healthcare, lunch, enjoying life. Let's not get caught up in legalism. But let's also not get caught up in the place where we just set it aside as another day that just got consumed. Let's use it for God. You know, it comes down to one word. It comes down to the word trust, doesn't it? Do you trust God with your life? If I don't work today, if I do this today, do I trust that God will take care of me? There are so many benefits in the scriptures that show if you honor the Sabbath. It's a whole list of things. He says, I promise you I'll do this in your life if you'll honor this day for me. But when it comes down to it, do you trust God with all your heart? Can the world wait one more day? Do you really have to do that today? You got to ask yourself that question. We need to rest. And here is the rest of the story. As Paul Harvey would say, you don't know David Rice Atchison. Many of you have never studied him, but forget what your history books say, teenagers. He was the 12th president of the United States of America. David Rice Atchison, nobody knows who he was because he's a man that's so obscure that Chester A. Arthur seems like a household word by comparison, even though you don't know who maybe that is. At exactly 12 noon on March 4th, 1849, Zachary Taylor was scheduled to succeed James Polk as chief executive, as president of the United States. But on March 4th, it was a Sunday. And he would not take his oath of office to be president of the United States because it was Sunday. And so he said, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, you can't do that tomorrow. You're going to be the president of the United States today. Well, then who, if you're not it today, there was, by the way, the Secession Act of 1792 that says if you're not, somebody else is going to be the president. He says, that's fine, but not on Sunday. Because Sunday is the Lord's day, and I will not come in for my oath of office to work on Sunday. So, Missouri Senator David Rice Acheson was sworn in on that day as President of the United States of America as the 12th President for 24 hours. Acheson was said to have taken the responsibility of his office very much in stride. Tongue in cheek, he appointed a number of his cronies to the high cabinet positions for 24 hours. And on Monday, then had a few drinks and went to bed to sleep out the remainder of his brief presidency. And on Monday at noon, Taylor took over the reins that Acheson handed back to him. You know what he said? The United States of America can wait. Because I'm going to spend time with God. That's pretty bold. What is so pressing in your life that can't wait? I trust him that he can even take care of the presidency for a day. He can handle it. God can handle what you give him in your life if you just be willing to rest in him. Let's stand together and let's pray.